The podcast you're about to listen to is explicit and graphic and for adults. And that's why you're here, I know. But I just wanted to let you know. So now you know.
All of my life, I've never fit. But I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, who's recovering from laryngitis, and this is episode 99. How's your week going? Every time I try and record myself, I crack up. I'm so sorry I sound so bad, but I've had laryngitis for so many days this week that I figured my commitment is to cranking out a podcast episode every single week. And even if it was excruciating to listen to, at least my part of it, that I was going to go ahead and record it. And then you get to hear the amazing story that I've selected for you for this week. I'm going to keep this part of the podcast short because there's a lot of talking I have to do and it's kind of hard on my voice. But a few really great things happened this week. We got mentions in 3 huge national/international publications this week. They were talking about the Body Storytelling Podcast in the New York Times style section. That really blew me away. We were mentioned in Bloomberg this week. And we were also mentioned in Boing Boing. And if you don't know Boing Boing, it's been around since the dawn of the internet. And the quote that they included was to say, Dixie De La Tour is a sex-positive rock star. And I think I've decided that's going to be what I put on my headstone when I die. Because it was going to say, we lost her too soon. She was the inventor of the food bra and Marlena Dietrich Scrabble. But I guess instead, it's going to say Dixie De La Tour is a sex-positive rock star. Because who doesn't want a huge national news outlet to say that about them? That just kind of made my laying around sick, trying to recover from this thing. It made it so much better because I was glowing from the inside. Because, you know, when people say kind things, it really lifts you up. I really need a bowl of matzo ball soup right now, you guys. I wish somebody would deliver that to my front door. I've had a delivery of hot tea. I'm drinking lots of throat coat tea with honey. I've been gargling with apple cider vinegar. That's nasty. Gargling with warm salt water. I started that today. Drinking tons of water, taking cold medicine. And I have had laryngitis completely. My voice has been completely lost for more than 3 days now. And this is it starting to come back. So we've recorded this atrocity for posterity. You know, this is what I sound like when I have laryngitis. All right, let's get on to the rest of the episode, shall we? Taking care of your body and mind is important. Whether you meditate, exercise, or take a hot bath to unwind, feeling good is good for you. And with Dipsy Stories, you can reach a whole new level of self-care. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions designed to turn you on. Each story is created with women in mind. They're relatable and immersive. And there's something for everyone, whether you're into men, women, or all of the above. And for listeners of the Body Storytelling Podcast, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/Dixie. Oh, and they add 3 brand new stories every week, so you'll always have more to explore. Right now, check out their new stories about trysts during holiday travel, exploring BDSM, and making those daydreams about your sexy coworker come true. Whatever you're in the mood for, Dipsy always keeps it real and really hot. You love stories, so act now. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to DIPSEA.com/Dixie. This week, we were talking on social media about nicknames for your bits. And a few people didn't like some of the words that we've used, like schlong or dong. Well, you know what? Happy holidays, y'all, because this week, I'm going to talk all about your balls. Manscaped.com is here to save the day. They want to protect your two amigos or the bollocks of a loved one. You can make untrimmed pubes a thing of the past with the Manscaped Sexy Lawnmower 2.0. It has proprietary skin-safe technology, and it won't nick your nuts. Manscaped products are a great holiday gift. Winter is hard on your magic beans, but Manscaped can help defeat ball sweat with the Crop Preserver, their anti-chafing deodorant. You can make your naughty bits smell fresh if you go to manscaped.com, use the promo code DIXIE, and you'll get 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for you or your partner's family jewels, and they're number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code Dixie, save 20% off, and get free shipping. Keep your crown jewels at their best, y'all. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code Dixie, and you'll get 20% off and free shipping. This week's story was one that was just on our stage, but the audience was blown away by this story. He got a huge standing ovation, so I wanted to put it on the podcast as soon as possible. Let me tell you about this week's storyteller. He is a queer descendant of Mormon pioneers and was born and raised in the beige suburban grid of Salt Lake City, Utah. He escaped and can now be found in the East Bay near San Francisco, where he works in academic publishing. He has lived here in the Bay Area for about 4 years and has only had to pee on the BART tracks 3 times so far. BART is our public transit system. Scott's creative outlets include podcasting, piano, and bringing his pet cat to ever greater levels of physical ecstasy. This storyteller, it was his first time on stage, and I think he did such a great job. This storyteller is Scott Sessions.
Thank you. Thank you, Dixie. Thank you, everybody. All right. So it's Sunday afternoon, and I'm doing something I've done 1,000 times. I'm masturbating. And I'm lying on a red duvet with a bright flower print, and I'm getting into it. The sun is coming through the window. It's, you know, kind of blessing me with its presence. And I'm really feeling it. I'm getting into the groove. And guys, I've gotten really good at this over the years. So it's like pretty good. So I'm getting into it. You know, the pace is kind of heating up. And all of a sudden, the energy in the room shifts. And it kind of takes me aback. And I realize that there's somebody else in the room. And there in the room, my pants are off. I'm you know, all of nature can see. And I figure out who it is, and I realize, oh, you know, we gotta talk. Okay. I'm 10 years old, and I'm in Mormon Sunday school. Yeah. And I'm listening to my Sunday school teacher, who looks like an extremely pregnant Renee Zellweger with a very bad hairstylist, telling me about marriage, one of her favorite topics. She tells me that for Mormons, marriage is extremely important, and I learned that I will probably get married to a woman in a white castle temple, and that will be a huge deal because it's marriage in the Mormon theology that will let me achieve the highest level of heaven called the celestial kingdom. And the whole big deal about the celestial kingdom and the highest level of it is that the people who get there become gods and goddesses, like our God. And that idea is actually kind of beautiful to me as a 10-year-old, that one day I might reach that level of progression, and with my wife we will, you know, create planets and populate them with people the same way that planet Earth was. And I will join this long line of generations of gods, eons in the past and eons into the future, and join this eternal cycle of creation. That's the celestial kingdom, and it means a lot to me as a 10-year-old. There's also something else going on. I'm 10, and I'm realizing that, yeah, marrying a girl sounds cool. I love girls, but you know what I'm actually crazy about is boys. And, you know, I don't have the words to describe it, but I have a crush on, like, almost every boy in the class. Patrick, Eric, Preston, John, Jeremy, they're all cool, and I think about them while I'm playing basketball. I'm like, wow, that's so fun to watch. And I think about how they might smell after they play basketball, and it makes me feel cool. It's got a tickle in my stomach and a twitch in my groin. And I think it's probably not a godly thing to think about. All right, I'm 16 years old. And I want to be the best Mormon ever. I really want to get to the celestial kingdom. So I'm doing all the stuff. I'm going to 3 hours of church on Sundays. I'm praying every morning and night. I'm playing piano for the church choir, which sucks and is not fun, but I'm doing it because of blessings. And I'm also going to this class in school because it's Utah. And it's called seminary, where I learn about the scriptures with other kids my age during the school day. Yay, church and state. holding hands, best friends. And I really want to go to the celestial kingdom. It's the most important thing to me. But there's also something else going on, which is that I am fucking desperate for the touch of another man. And I'm finding myself staying awake at night, imagining what it might be like and fantasizing. And I finally decide to make it happen. I have to. I am compelled to. So I find a guy through a telephone sex hotline that's only advertised after 11 p.m. at night on TV. And I have to go there because there's no way I can hook up with anyone from my school. If they found out that I was gay, my life would be over. We had been told that gay men are basically the scum of the earth, that they are, they don't have joy, they're probably diseased, they are superficial, and they'll probably die young. And I don't want to be that, and I don't want to be associated with that. So I find a stranger. I go to his apartment. He's middle-aged, he's white, he's balding, he's round in the middle, and I'm not attracted to him at all. But I go into his dingy apartment anyway. He touches me in ways that don't feel very good. He masturbates me until I come. I should add that I pretended that I was 18, and he pretended to believe me. That was New Year's Day. A month later, on Valentine's Day, I do it again with another guy, and it's the same thing. Feel completely fucking terrible afterward. I was engulfed in shame and guilt. I just didn't have a good bone in my body. I could tell I was becoming that depraved thing that I was afraid of. And I didn't tell anybody for several months, just kind of living in this. And finally, I confessed it to my bishop, my church leader, who was a middle-aged guy, white, balding, kind of big in the middle. And I tell him everything that happened with both guys, and I tell him that I feel so guilty. And he agrees that I am, and tells me that it's going to take a long time to repent. All right, I'm 21, and the two pieces of my identity, being Mormon and gay, have not yet come together. The tension has built, right? If there was something bad at 16, add 5 years, and it's worse. But something is changing. I'm going to go work at a summer camp back east in Pennsylvania. It's called Camp Lohican, and it's going to be my first time living outside of Utah, living away from Mormonism. And the cool thing about it is that it's in the mountains, it's far away from any church, and the schedule requires me to work through the weekends most of the time. So my mom gets wind of this and asks, you know, like, well, if you're working through the weekends, how are you going to go to church? And I tell her, you know, I'll figure it out. And I don't. And I work at the camp, and I don't read my scriptures, and I stop praying. And it's really fucking relieving to just live day to day and be kind of open to what the world has to offer. And I see what life is like outside the church. And at the end of that summer, I have my first healthy sexual encounter. Thank you. Thank you. That's how I felt. this guy, a fellow camp counselor named Jeffrey. He had this gorgeous tanned skin and blue puppy dog eyes. He was a circus arts instructor, so he was really fit and flexible. So one night I snuck into his room. He had the top private cabin in the Lohican Lodge. We were just going to make out, but the energy was right, and clothes just kind of flew off. Plus, you know, the privacy thing. I hadn't had privacy for a long time, so that was really nice. That's what was happening. I felt no guilt this time. I felt like I was a human, you know, in a human body, attracted to that human body. And we touched each other, and we kissed each other, and we masturbated each other until we came. And it was amazing. It felt like I had touched foot on an entirely new planet after 21 years on this one. And you know what? There was a lot to explore on planet sex. And holy fuck, I wanted to do that. And it was around that time that I decided to just be done with church. I'm done with that. It doesn't feel good, and this does. And I'm done with whatever God and I had. That was cool while it lasted, but we're done. We're over. I don't need you anymore. It's also around this time that I realized maybe that I had been reaching so hard for the celestial kingdom and being the best Mormon that I could in order to fix myself. And you know what? If sex feels this good and this, you know, intimate connection with another human who finds me attractive and who I find attractive, maybe I don't need fixing. And so I decided to live like that for a little while. Thank you. And that's how I spend the next several years outside the church, you know, calling myself atheist or agnostic. And I get to explore the world. I see the UK. I live in Taiwan for a year and a half. I live in Canada for a while. And I really, you know, get to know different cultures. I fuck different guys. I see amazing things, but something is missing the whole time, actually. No matter where I go, no matter what I see, no matter who I fuck, I rarely feel a sense of awe, and I rarely feel a sense of wonder. It's all very kind of objective. I'm looking at the world, and I'm not really living the world. And I thought that's all it was. You know, I thought that God thing was a delusion, and it wasn't doing anything for me. You know, this is it. This is the world. This is the world of rationality and science and atheism, and that's what you have to live. And that was okay, actually. It was okay. I was getting by. Then I found myself unexpectedly inside of a church. When I was 26. It was the Good Shepherd Episcopal Church over in Berkeley. I didn't plan to be there, but I was there. And it was actually kind of cool. It was cooler than I thought it would be. The leader of the church is called a vicar. She was a short, white-haired woman, feminist with lefty politics. There were a bunch of queers in the congregation, and two of them in particular were well-known theologians who I got to know. And they told me things like, you know, God has no defined gender. And God doesn't follow society's rules. And you can find God literally anywhere. God's always kind of waiting just below the surface. And God speaks every language, including erotic attraction. And I learned about eros and eroticism. And I'm agnostic. I don't know what's real, but I am happily, you know, welcomed into this community. About a year after I've been going to church regularly, I'm home, I'm lying on my bed. It's a Sunday afternoon. I'm on a red duvet covered in bright flowers. My pants are off, the sun is shining. You know the story, things are going well, heating up. I got really good at masturbating over the years. I don't know if I said that. And all of a sudden, the energy shifts. And things feel different. And there's someone else in the room. And I know it to be God. I know this because I feel different. I feel a sense of awe and wonder intrinsically in my body and in my soul. And I feel honestly like I am floating on my back on top of this gigantic lake of unconditional love. And I'm terrified. And I don't know why. So I talk to God. And I say, wow, hi, it's been a while. I did not expect to see you here, but I'm glad you are here. This feels amazing. I get the sense that you want to be part of my life. And I have to think about that. I think it'd be really nice, but last time you were part of my life, some fucked up shit happened. And if you're going to come back to my life, there's conditions. And I lay these out. I say, God, if I am in a relationship with you and you start telling me to hate myself, it's done. We're not going to continue. I say, God, if we're doing our thing, if we're intimate and you start, you know, leading me to hate anybody else, fuck it, I'm out. Okay? That's our deal. Are you cool with that? And I'm waiting. And I still feel that unconditional love. And I still feel that sense of wonder. And I still feel that, you know, divine curiosity. And if you can believe it, the sun shines even brighter onto my erect penis. And if that's not a yes, I don't know what is. So we did it. We sealed the deal, and I kept on going. I touched my dick again, and I'm going up and down, and I'm really feeling it. And there's this energy running through my whole body, and it's different. Where before my heart and my cock were just, you know, two separate entities in different rooms of the house, now they are dancing together, and they're harmonizing and singing in one voice. There's no part of me that doesn't feel loved. There's no part of me that doesn't feel sexy. There's no part of me that doesn't feel fucking horny. And I'm going at it, and God's going at it, and finally, we explode. And there's this beautiful joy, you know, running through my body. There's cum and blood and sex and breathing, and God is swimming through the room and swimming through me. And I finally feel that I have joined the eternal cycle of creation in that moment on this earth. And I feel fucking celestial. And, you know, at the end of all this, I am left just vibrating on this red duvet covered in bright flowers and pools of semen. And it's all I can do to breathe in deeply and say, hallelujah and amen.
If you're gay, then you're gay. Don't pretend that you're straight. You could be who you are any day of the week. You are unlike the others, so strong and unique. We're all with you. If you're straight, well, that's great. You can help procreate and make gay little babies for the whole human race. Make a world we can live in where the one who you love's not an issue. 'Cause we're all so gay. If you're straight, well, that's great. If you fall in between, that's the best way to be. You got so many options. Every fish in the sea wants to kiss you. Ooh.
That song was Everyone is Gay by A Great Big World. I feel like my life has completely changed since I started a podcast. And this podcast is possible because of the people who support it on Patreon. We're all getting to enjoy it, but there are a few people who are making all the difference in the world. They're supporting the costs that are incurred, like web hosting and sound engineers and podcast producers, and podcasts are free. So the people on Patreon who are supporting us are the ones who are making that happen. I want to say thank you to the people who support us and ask you to join them as well. Go to patreon.com/body, B-A-W-D-Y. Support us at whatever level you can. It makes a huge difference. It means that this podcast can keep going out to the people who need to hear these stories. And they're not within range of a live event. That's what I've done for all these years. But now these stories, which luckily we recorded so many of them, now they can be shared with people everywhere. Thanks to the people who support us on Patreon. Thanks for listening. That epic 10-week multi-city tour I just completed, that tour was sponsored in part by Hashtag Open, the sex-positive dating app for the open-minded. Are you looking for new friends, for dates, for hookups, or for relationships? Hashtag Open is unique in that you can create a solo profile, a partnered profile, or both. If you identify as kinky, as LGBTQIA, as polyamorous, monogamous, a swinger, straight, gender nonconforming, hetero flexible, body positive, you name it, Hashtag Open is a place where you can truly be yourself. Hashtag Open has more than 20 options for gender and sexual orientation to choose from, and just as many options for relationship styles. I love that Hashtag Open donates $1 to Planned Parenthood for every new profile created. Go to hashtagopen.com/body to download the app today. That's hashtagopen.com/BAWDY. You love the stories that you hear here on the Body Storytelling Podcast, and they are recorded at our live, life-changing in-person events. You can watch strangers get on stage to tell their own well-crafted, curated true story, and even get inspired to share your own on our stage. Body is all about fostering tolerance and empathy and helping you find that thing you've been looking for. So here are the upcoming shows for December for Body Storytelling. On Wednesday, December 4th in Seattle, the theme is the Naughty Bits. We have got sex-positive legend Elena Gabosh coming back. I just got storyteller Casey Rom, who you heard on a recent podcast, and I looked her up. Her episode was the most downloaded episode of the podcast thus far. She's a fantastic storyteller, and she will be on stage in Seattle on December 4th. And then on Wednesday, December 18th in San Francisco, the theme is The Best Gift Ever. I just nailed down this queer graphic novelist who's been trotting all over the world. We have been talking for 5 years, and Justin Hall is finally going to be on my stage in San Francisco. He's going to tell his very first body story for us. That's Wednesday, December 18th in San Francisco at the Verdi Club. Tickets for all of these events are on our website at bodystorytelling.com and in the show notes. And one last thing, I want to wish happy birthday to Jefferson Berge, who's been writing custom body songs for me for 4+ years. This week, he is celebrating his big 4-0, his 40th birthday, and it's a huge milestone. So I wanted to say how grateful I am, especially this week, for all the beautiful songs he's written for my show, songs that you've heard, like Taboo and Come For Me and songs that have been heard on the podcast and performed at our live show so many times. Happy birthday, Jefferson. We love you so much. All right, we're at the end of the episode. I want to thank you for putting up with me this week. And I'm so glad that you tuned in. Hopefully you listened all the way to the end. I want to say thank you to the people who make this thing possible. The team at Body Storytelling who helped me record the stories at the live shows, who helped me create videos from the live shows, and the people who make this podcast happen every single week. Thank you to the amazing podcast producer, Marty Garcia. He's on vacation this week, so this episode will be going out late, even though he was committed to use his vacation to make the episode come out on time. I still had no voice, so it's going out late and it's my fault. But thank you, Marty, for being willing to keep us on schedule. You are just incredible. I love working with you. Thank you to project manager Dana Hanna, to sound engineer David Grossoff, to video archivist Joe Moore, and thank you to you for listening. We've been getting some amazing reviews on Apple Podcasts. I just shared one on Facebook earlier today. Somebody who does not write reviews took the time because they thought that this podcast was incredible. So if they, even though they don't write reviews, can take the time to stop and write a review for this podcast, which boosts our signal, which means that new people find us and learn about us, then I'd really appreciate it if you could do it this week. I don't know if this episode will be out in time for Thanksgiving. I kind of doubt it, but I hope you have an amazing Thanksgiving. If you're in the United States, we have a lot of international fans of the podcast, but if you're in the U.S., I hope you have an incredible Thanksgiving, that you get everything you want to eat. It is one of my favorite holidays of the year. It's the perfect time to remember that just being kind to each other is the best thing you can do. It doesn't cost a cent, and it makes everybody's life better, including yours. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this has been episode 99 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. Here's a peek at what's next. Wow, that is hard to say. Once upon a time, I was a sex party producer. And one day, a friend invited me to a storytelling event. And I'm like, that's going to be awful. That's going to be that lady at the library who tells stories to kids dressed up like Pocahontas. I'm going to be pissed off. But then I went to, and it was people telling stories about Burning Man and the experiences they'd had. And I was like, this is awesome, but perverts could kick this shit up and down the street, couldn't they?